Parshas Vayechi concludes a fascinating sefer in the Torah, Chavishachom Shetorah, Sefer Bereishis, and it goes into an unusual depth into the death of Yaakov Avinu. It first describes that Yaakov Avinu called over Yosef and requested a Yosef that he doesn't bury him in Mitzrayim, moves him over to Eretz Yisrael. And later on in the parasha, it talks about the bracha of Yaakov and Yosef and Ephraim and Manasseh. And further on in the parasha, a very, very well-known, famous piece, those who are learning Rashi, have a lot of interesting Rashis. Yaakov Avinu calls his family together. Vayikra Yaakov, Avonav, Yaakov called his bonim together, his children together. Vayomer, and he says to them, Hey Osfu, gather together. Vagidu lechem, I will tell you, Es Asher Yikra Eschem Achris Yom, I will tell you what will happen at the end of the days. And then he carries on and he says, Hikoptu, gather together, Vishimu b'nei Yaakov, Vishimu es el Yisrael avichem, listen to b'nei Yaakov, listen to your father, Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu then goes into a very detailed lecture to his sons, Reuven, Shimon Levi, Yehuda, and he goes over and he describes the qualities, the challenges. He gives some of them he gives advice, some of them he rebukes, some of them he compliments. But each one, Yaakov Avinu, as the father par excellence, or a father who can actually determine the nekuda that Yisrael needed to hear before his death, he gave every single one exactly what he needs. Reuven, Pachas Kaim Mayim Al Tosa, he told him off about his feelings of impetuity, is that the correct word? Then his Shimon and Levi, he would talk about their anger. Yehuda, he gives four psukim talking about the wonderful, wonderful virtues of Yehuda. Each one he speaks to. Now let's go through this carefully, and let's bring out halacha lemaisa, some relevant lessons we can have in being moichiach people around us in general, and in order to bring moichiach, to rebuke our children in particular. How do we learn from Yaakov Avinu how to actually be mechanech our children in a way that's going to be effective? Firstly, there is a Rashi, and Rashi says in the beginning of Parashas Devarim, Rashi says as follows, Omru Chazal, Hatam, the reason, Sheichiach Yaakov Esponav El Asomach Lemisa, why was it that Yaakov Avinu only rebuked his sons close to his death? For example, says Rashi, Omar Reuven Bni, Ani Oima Lecho, Yaakov said to his son, Reuven, my son, why did I not rebuke you all these years? Why? Why do you think Yaakov did not rebuke Reuven all these years? Do you know why? Today, in order, that you shouldn't leave me, that you should not go along and leave me and cleave to my brother Esav. Yaakov Avinu did not give Reuven and those who needed techocha during his lifetime, only right before his death, because he was worried that Reuven, one of the Ovos, we have no concept of what the Ovos were. We cannot possibly imagine the greatness of the Ovos. And if you give Reuven techocha, he will go off the derech, and he'll join up with who? Nothing less than Esav. How do you understand such a thing? B'chaim Shmulevitz asks, how do we understand such a thing? How can it possibly be that was Yaakov was worried about? Tell him off! And what did he tell him off about already? He just told him about a certain point of his character. And it's so bad. It's so terrible. So he says, B'chaim Shmulevitz says, that we see from here a very important point in Teichacha. And he says Teichacha does not mean rebuke. Teichacha does not mean a good musadrasha, telling a person off, pulling him down to shape, you know, getting him down a few rungs and putting him in his place. Teichacha is, as you see in previous parashas, Yosef was mechiach his brothers. Yosef said two words to his brothers, which Chazal say were the strongest musa drasha ever in history. And what were they? Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. That was it. That's the beginning and end of the musa drasha. Says a Chazal, Oy lon liyom misa, oy lon liyom teichacha, woe for the day of death, woe for the day of Techocha. Yosef, smallest one of his brothers, gave such a Musad Rasha. What did he say? Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Wow, what a Musad Rasha. Says Rav Chaim, Techocha does not mean telling somebody off. Techocha does not mean giving a long-winded Russia and explaining to the person the virtues and the problems of what he's doing. All techocha means is mechiach, means showing the person where they have gone wrong, directing a person lohichiach, to point out the mistake of the individual. That is techocha. The brothers thought all this time that Yosef was somebody fantasizing about grandiose thoughts, and he's somebody who is a Russia, he's a Raydev. He says, yes, I'm Yosef, look who I am. Did I say I was going to be the king? Here I am. You made a mistake. I didn't. You're the one who's mistaken. That is the biggest teichacha. Teichacha is taking somebody and showing them they've made the mistake. Says Reb Chaim, teichacha is so powerful that it has extremely dangerous side effects. Now, once I had a story about teichacha. There was somebody who finished Daf Yomi, a cycle of Daf Yomi. Took him 7.5 years. And by his siyum of Daf Yomi, said, I've got to tell you who inspired me, Salon Daf Yomi. He said it was the night of Bedikas Chometz. And I was going around with my spoon and my feather and my candle. And I had with me my little 5-year-old son. And I was looking through some Svarim, doing Bedikas Chometz on Svarim. And my son says to me, Daddy, you don't have to look over there. In school we learned, in Cheder we learned, that you only have to check places where you use a whole year. You don't use these Svarim, you don't have to check them. And he said, if I would have had a 10-hour Musa Drosha from the Godel Hador, it would not have done me anywhere near the amount of effect this little 5-year-old saying, Daddy, you don't need to place a cleanness. Never use them. He said, I've got such a shock. I said, that's it, I'm doing that for Yomi. And he finished Shas, and he started Shas again. And his person today has Kaveh Itin Matira. His children wouldn't say that to him again. But that's Techocha. Techocha, a clever person listens to a child. Not a clever person, give a child a frask. Hit him, what a cheeky chap. Right? But a clever person takes a Techocha and he learns from it. But Techocha has a very powerful effect. What is it? Reb Chaim says, Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai. Okay? Left Har Sinai. In other words, they grew from Mitzrayim all the way up to being able to receive the Torah from Rabbeinu Shlalem. Okay? They left Har Sinai, and a very, very short time later, what happened was, they served the Egel. How is that Shaykh? The Gemara says, the Eitzahara never goes to Tzaddik and says, serve Avodah Zarah today. What does he do? Hayoim Oimer Osakach. Today he says, do this. Lamacha Oimer Lo Yasekach. Next day he says, do this. Adshu Oimer Lo Avodah Zarah. Until he says to him, serve Avodah Zarah. In other words, the Yetzer never comes to a person and takes them from the highest levels to the lowest levels. How was it over here there that the Yetzer could do that to Klal Yisrael and take them from the highest levels to the lowest levels? How is that Shaykh? How was he able to do that? So he says, the way he managed to do that was by shocking them. He put them into a state of shock, and the state of shock has no end to the negative results it can cause. He shocked them by showing Moshe Rabbeinu lying there in a state of death. And that was so shocking, that was so worrying for Klal Yisrael, they got paralyzed. They got paralyzed. Terrible, Moshe's dead. What should we do? Let's serve Avodah Zarah. And that was a koyach of a shock. That's a koyach of somebody shocking a person to such an extent that they completely lose every control they have. Teichacha can do exactly that, says Reb Chaim. Teichacha can be so powerful, it can paralyze a person. They can see their whole life a mistake they've made. Yitzchok did not see the mistake he had made with Esav until Yaakov came through the door of the brachas. He was paralyzed. But he caught himself and he carried on. Reuven, says Yaakov Avinu, Reuven, you thought you're doing something correct? You thought you're fine? He can give him to Techocha and he can be so paralyzed he can completely go and become a Talmud of Esav. That is the koyach of Techocha. Techocha on one hand can be extremely powerful to direct a person and show them and point them out their mistake. On the other hand, it can be so powerful a person can shut such a shock that they can completely lose everything and go the other way. And therefore that is why it's so powerful to know the halachas of when a person should be mechiach, when a person shouldn't be mechiach, and how to be mechiach. Let's go further. Reb Chaim Shmal, the Rav of Goschalk Shul in London, he wrote a very, very beautiful sefer called Yonei Chaim. And he says, he asks a kasha, which I think I've seen at other achronim as well, but I don't remember who. He says, what kind of techocha was Reuven supposed to be getting in the first place? Reuven did a chet. What was his chet? Chazal say that he took Bilbil Yitzor Aviv. He took the bed from Bilal's and put it into Leil's, etc. Okay. He took the... Says Chazal two things. Number one, Chazal say, Medrash Rabbah says, that where was Reuven during the Mechiras Yosef? He was Oisek B'Sakri V'Tan Yisoy. He was busy doing tshuva. He was in sackcloth and he was fasting for the chet that he did. Now, how many years after that died? It was 9 years later. 9 years after he did that chet, he was doing tshuva. This was years and years and years after that. Reuven must have done tshuva, number one. Number two, Chazal say, Medrash Rabbah brings out, Omle HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ma'olam lechota odom lefonai, v'osa tshuva. A person has never done tshuva and not been pointed out that he did something wrong. Okay. Va'ato petachto b'tshuva tchila, and you, Reuven, did tshuva first. Chayecho, because you did tshuva, Sheben bencho, your grandchild, oimed upeiseach b'tshuva tchila. Your grandchild will be the one that we identify tshuva with. Who is that? What is a classic? What is a classic haftorah of tshuva? Shuvo Yisrael ad Hashem lekecho. Shabbos shuvo. Shuvo Yisrael ad Hashem lekecho. Who is that? That is from Hosea. Okay, Hosea was a great grandchild of Reuven, and because Reuven was the one who started off doing tshuva correctly, his great grandchild was the Rosh Hashiva, as it were, of tshuva. So you see clearly that Reuven did tshuva. Asks Reb Chaim Shmal, if that's the case, how can he go along and start telling Reuven of something that he already did? He says there's an Issa deraisa of a Nos Devarim. What Leisoinu Ishes Achiv says Chazal. A person may not go to Baal Tshuva and say to him, "Oh, look at you today. I remember when you were eating chaza." Chas v'shalom, it's mamash a nasty dvarim. How can Yaakov even go along and say to Reuven, "Oh, look at you. You're not calculated." What do you mean you're not calculated? I've done tshuva for that, Yaakov. But I've been oisei b'sakei b'taniso years and years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told me I've done tshuva. What do you want from me? How could Yaakovina do that? How can he do that? He's a father. He knows Reuven. How can he do that? So Chaim Shmuel answers as follows, and he says that techocha is not about the action. Techocha is about the source. A good mechiach is able to identify, even if the action has been done true before, but if the source of the problem still remains, that is what he needs Techocha for. Absolutely right. Reuven had done tshuva, and we said Saki v'tanisa, and the chet that he did no longer existed. The action that he did then, by moving the bed from one tent to the other one, and being Mevazi Yaakov Avinu, as it were, that tshuva was done, that was finished, it then never existed anymore. Yeah, and that was proper tshuva. But the motivation behind it, that wasn't perfect. It could be the pshat ata petachto b'tshuva tchila. You started off doing tshuva, you haven't, because the real tshuva is really finding the nekuda of the source. So it could be ata petachto, you started off tshuva, you haven't really finished tshuva to the nth degree. Okay, so this is what Yaakov Avinu was saying. Am mechiach you, Reuven, not in past tense. It says very clearly. It says pachas kamayim. Pachas kamayim is in present tense. Not what you did then, what you are now. I'm telling you now that the action may have been done true before, but there's a certain flaw in your identity of who you are as a character that you may not be able to see, but it's lying dormant there, and that requires techocha. Techocha has to be able to identify the source rather than the action. Now, I always bring a marshal of somebody who Nebuch was born with unsightly looking ears. Yeah? And he has ears sticking out, and all his friends call him different names, satellite dish, or, I don't know, jug ears, and he's very upset. Charles, you know, whatever. Right? People made fun of this poor kid. So he decided that's it, when he gets married, he's gonna deal with it. He gets married, and before he gets married, he decides he's gonna once and for all deal with his ears. And he goes along and has plastic surgery, that his children shouldn't have the same problem as him. Doesn't help! It's a genetic engineering he's got to deal with. To do plastic surgery outside, it doesn't help. To do plastic surgery on the Maisa Chet from the outside, to turn off the screen, to reboot the computer, doesn't help if there's a virus. You've got to get to the virus and break that down. Techocha is to take a child, or to take somebody who you're responsible to give to a chacha and look past his actions and find out whether there's something still lying dormant that will require surgery and deal with that. That is a very, very, also an extremely important klal in Hilchos Teichacha. The Hamikdava over here and in the earlier parashas brings another klal in Teichacha. And that is not only to identify the power of Teichacha, that's what we discussed beforehand, that Teichacha is extremely powerful to bring a person back on the correct derech, but not done in the correct way can actually knock a person off the path completely, number one. Number two is not only to identify their actions, but also to identify the source. But he says, even identifying the source has got to be done very, very carefully. You can see sometimes one person doing one thing and one person doing something else, and you can see very clearly that one's doing something right, one's doing something wrong. But the problem is, you can see the same person doing exactly the same action, and you cannot see clearly whether it's right or wrong. That is where Teichacha, a good Melchiach, is sure. For example, he says as follows. He says, one of the strongest rebukes he gave was Shimon v'Levi Achim. Shimon v'Levi Achim. Shimon v'Levi are brothers. Klei chomos mecheiro yseihem. They use, as a kinyan, they use as their tools, these klei chomos, these weapons. Besaidom atovei nafshi, I don't want to come in to their conspiracies. Let my soul not enter their conspiracies. Bekoholam ateichat kavodi, where the congregation do not join my honor. Ki ba'apam horgu ish ubetsoidim ikrusho, because of the anger they killed an ish ubetsoidim ikrusho. Now there's a lot to discuss over here. Time is short, but let's understand this clearly. First of all, let's talk Shimon Levi Achim. Of course they're Achim, right? Of course they're brothers. Of course they're brothers. Number one. Number two, earlier on, when it talks about Shechem, it says a very, very interesting source. It says as follows. It says, Vayihi b'yom ha'shlishi, it was on the third day, in Perek Lamadal Pasuk Chafei, b'yosam koivim, when they were in pain, v'yikhu shnei b'nei Yaakov, and two of the sons of Yaakov, Shimon v'levei achei Dino, the brothers of Dino, Ishcharboi. So the Hamakdava says, what's Shimon Levi Achim, the brothers? And then it said beforehand, Shnei Bnei Yaakov, two sons of Yaakov. So the Ramban says that Shimon Levi Achim means that they had one, the Hamakdava brings this out, they had one thing in common. They were Achim in one thing. Klechomos Mecheir Seihem. Shimon Levi Achim, they're brothers. You know what? In one particular item and nothing else. In what? That they both use violence as their tool rather than diplomacy. That is it. But if you look deeper into what they're doing, they're Shnei Bnei Yaakov. They are completely two different sons of Yaakov with two different motives. You cannot possibly compare Reuven to Shimon. In other words, they're Achim when it comes to the results. You understand? The Achim when it comes to Klei Chomos Mecheir Yisehen, the Achim in that, the brothers in that. But when it comes to the reason behind it, the motive, then a Shnei Bnei Yaakov, they are two different children of Yaakov. You cannot compare one with the other. What's Bishat? So I want to bring out the Moshel. Imagine a person is lying in bed in a winter morning and there's a thick quilt covering him and the wind is howling outside and he's absolutely perfectly fit, he's perfectly well. And his alarm rings, and he realizes now 20 minutes to Shacharis. 20 minutes to Shacharis. Fine. So for him to turn over and go back to sleep, and press the snooze button is clearly the Eitz HaHara. You know, it's clearly his bed or shul is the Eitz HaHara. Fine. And he knows that. And he identifies as a war now between me and my Eitz HaHara. What do I do? Do I put one leg out of bed and the other one and actually get out of bed? Or do I stay in this very, very cozy position and carry on sleeping? So that's clear, that's the Yetzer Hara. That's very clear. What's more difficult to see is if, let's say, the night before he had a terrible cold. He had a terrible cold. And he's been blowing his nose and his throat hurts him a little bit. And he wakes up and his nose is all blocked up and his throat hurts. And then he opens a window and he sees what is called a non-day. Yeah? It's dark and the winds are blowing and it's raining outside. Now he has a shaila. Maybe it's pekuach nefesh to stay in bed. Maybe other rabba. To get out of bed is poshut the Yetzer Hara telling me, get ill, and get really ill, and therefore, chas v'shalom, do not be a functioning Jew for the next few days. Yeah? So get out of bed, go to shul, that's Yetzer Hara. On the contrary, it could be, my Yetzer Hara is telling me, get back to bed, use your cold as an excuse. I don't know. By the way, how do you deal with this? Master Rosh Hashiva, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, what he would do was, when he's getting old, and he's ill, and he wasn't feeling so well, the question was, again, should I go back to bed, should I not? He would get out of bed, he'd get fully dressed, he'd put on his coat and his hat, take his talis bag, open the front door, and then decide whether he's well enough to go to shul. That's godless. But we don't know. It's lying in bed. So therefore, a person from the outside could see this person lying in bed. It could be clearly Yetzer Hara. It could be, on the contrary, no. It could be, I am really decided that the correct thing for me to do is to lie in bed in order for me to get better, because it'd be wrong for me to go out. Who knows? It's very hard to identify. Says the HaMikdavar, Levi had a completely different motivation to Shimon. Shimon was about family pride. Family pride, covered of the mishpacha. Covered of mishpacha is an eish zara, is a wildfire. There's never a good excuse for that. Never. There's no right to do such a thing. Levi was all about passion for Rabbeinu Shleim, Chil Hashem. I cannot allow this to happen in a Jewish family. This is Rabbeinu Shleim over here. I cannot stand by. He said when Shimon and Levi showed themselves up by killing Shechem, it looked like ultimately they're both doing it for the same reason. Ache Dino, the brothers of Dino. What does that mean? Ache Dino, family pride and Torah pride, the Shem Shemayim. How do we know what happened? How do we know how this thing develops? How do we know really what's going on over here? Later on in the parasha says, Shema Levi, Achim Kleichomus Becheiroi Sehem. They are the same in the Cheiroi Sehem. However, says Yaakovinu, Besoidom Atobe Nafshi. When it's besoidom, in other words, when it's for Sodom, which means the Sodom Hashem, when I do it the Shem Shemaim, I'll tov nafshi, do me a favor, leave me out. It's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to fight for Rabbeinu Shleilam, but you know, I don't like this kanos business. Keep me out of this. Besoidom I'll tov nafshi. However, b'kaholom, when it's nothing to do with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when it's a kaholom, when it's just a congregation thing dealing here with, you know, we got to fight for family pride, then Yaakovinu says, al teichad kavodi, it's not my covered b'chad. Don't think it's covered for me. It's not covered for me at all to get involved in this. The first hand, it could have been covered. I just don't want to get involved. Second one's not covered at all. How do we see how different they are? Shimon, ultimately, nothing has ever shown itself that they were great in Kanos. In fact, the only Kanos we saw of someone doing a wild act was Zimri. Zimri. That's Besoidon, says Rashi. That was Zimri. Soid, which means deep down, under the surface, in the secret matter, what was going on over here was a soid. There was a wild, there was a passion. You know what happened to that passion? It ended up with Zimri. Terrible thing. Terrible. Levi, you know what happened with that passion? He fought for Klal Yisrael by the Egel. He fought for Klal Yisrael, killing the few families who wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. He fought for Klal Yisrael for the Chashmonoim. Levi has fought for Klal Yisrael all the way through history. And that is Shimon v'Levi Achin. They're brothers in one thing, but they both use violence sometimes for their kinyan, for the way of getting around problems. But ultimately, said the apostle beforehand, Shnei Bnei Yaakov, they're two different motivations. A godel can see behind the act, he can see the motivation. You got to be able to see not only the act, not only what a person is doing, but why he is doing it, and ultimately, if he's doing it for the wrong reasons, only bad can come from it.
Yaakov was covered at Torah. If Shimon was fighting for the pride of Yaakov, his family, that was covered at Torah. That's for the covered of Hashem. Why is this such a chilek?
It happened to be that Yaakov Avinu was representing Rabbeinu Shleilam, but if it wouldn't be Yaakov Avinu, it would be somebody else who would have fought for that as well.
Okay.
So it wasn't a motivation,
wasn't
was fighting for that.
It was more of family, yeah.
There is a very, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara bases itself on a pasuk later on. The pasuk says, "By Don Yodin Amoy, Don will judge his nation, ka'achad shifte Yisrael, like one of the shvatim of Klal Yisrael." So the Gemara says in Pesachim, if you remember this Gemara, there's one man who always used to say, "Judge me, judge me." Yeah. In other words, every time he had a fight, he said, "Okay, I'll see you in Beis Din, I'll see you in court." So the Gemara is very clear that this man came from Shevet Don. Yeah? So Rabbi Henoch Lebovitz, Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim, has a very, very good kasha. He says, one second. Yaakovina is saying to them, Don Yodin Amoy Ka'ach Shifte Yisrael means, I am giving you a gadlus over here. I'm giving you a quality to be able to judge Klal Yisrael in an objective way. In other words, you are the one who can identify truth from not truth. Yaakov Avinu did not give the brocha to Don that every time something happens, I'll see you in court, I'll sue you, I'll get you. You know, that's not what Don is all about. That wasn't what the brocha was for. So what's the Gemara saying? Ah, you see? The fact that he was saying, I'll see you in court, I'll sue you, etc., shows me that this was based on Don, because that was a brocha Yaakov Avinu gave to Don, Don Yodin Amoy. What's a shaychus? You've learned this Gemara? Psochem daf dalet.
Yeah,
different one. He liked to go to the sea, and so Gemara said, Don Yodin Amoy, oh, he's from Shema Don, I'll sue. That's not what it's all about. It's about being identifying the qualities of judging carefully, of mitun hadin, of being level-headed, to be able to judge what's right and what's wrong, to identify the truth and distruth of what people are saying. Not guy coming, oh, you did this to me, I'll see you in court. That's not Don Yodin, that's not the bracha. So listen to this beautiful, beautiful pshat. It says, V'henach Lebovitz, in every element of midos, it can be used for good or for bad. Midos, why a midah? You have a midah. Why is it called a midah? Guy's got good midas. Somebody's got bad midas. What's midas? Yeah? Kas is a midah. Gaiva is a midah. What's a midah? A midah is a measure. Anything that is used correct in the correct measure is good. Anything used too much or too little can be good or bad. For example, Don is Din, right? He got the judgment. Using it in the correct way is perfect. It's exactly what Yaakov intended. But you get some people who are so connected to judging, and he used it too much, and he's going to start suing the whole town for everything that happens. That is the kliach of using something good for chalila, for a bad purpose, something bad. On the contrary, you can use something bad for the good. What happened to Shevet Levi and Shevet Shimon? Says Rashi. What Shevet Shimon? These big people who are passionate, who do they become? Who did they become?
Seifrim
and Malamdei Tanoikus. They became teachers. They became teachers. Says Matisyahu Salomon, teachers. You take Shevet Shimon to be teachers. On the contrary, Ein HaKapta Malamed. A person who has a vile temper, the last thing you want is to take your kid to school and him to be the teacher. How can you, Yaakov Avinu, give them a bracha they should become teachers? That's a crazy bracha. So Matisyahu said, because a teacher who does not teach with passion is not a teacher. So it doesn't matter if the kid gets a frusk a little bit, you know, a little bit too enthusiastic every now and then. But ultimately, you've got to come over to the child with passion, bubbling over with the love of Torah. And that's Shimon. Okay, that's one pshat. But another pshat is poshut. That Yaakov Avinu was controlling Shimon and explaining to Shimon that the identity of passion means going beyond your call of duty. A teacher has got to go beyond his call of duty. A good teacher does not end his relationship with his students as soon as the bell rings at the end of school. There's extra time spending with the students. There's sometimes he doesn't get his paycheck. There's sometimes where parents are abusive and he keeps quiet and he doesn't let it out on the children the next day. That is going beyond the call of duty. That is Shimon. Going beyond the call of duty. He did something that was bad at one stage, but he used that kliach, going beyond the call of duty for passion in order to use it for the good things, and he became a teacher. That was Shimon. And on the other hand, you can have the other case. We had somebody from Shevet Don, who was a very good minister of Yaakov Avinu. Fantastic. Judging. Being perfect. Being precise. And you take this and you overdo it and you misuse it. You have somebody going along and suing the whole town for everything. That is the kliach of midos. Being able to use a little bit when you should be and a little bit when you shouldn't. That is fine-tuning when you should be using something. I want to finish off with an interesting idea which I saw by Zilberstein. He says that if you look in the brachas Yaakov Avinu gave his Shavuotim, and you compare those to the brachas Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Klal Yisrael later on as Shavuotim, they're very, very different. For example, he says Levi is basically he's really told off by Yaakov. Ora pom kios, he really goes for him, right? Levi. Yehuda. Yaakovina waxes lyric. Fantastic. Yehuda ati ducha chechel. He goes posuk after posuk. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 psukim. Yaakov really lays it on thick. Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens to Moshe Rabbeinu? Levi. One posuk after another after praise. One posuk after another. Yehuda, one little posuk. What's going on? Did they change in that time? Levi didn't do good, and Levi did better, and Yehuda didn't do so well. What's the idea? What's going on over here? So this is a very, very important principle. You all know that there is two major schools of thought with regard to yeshivas. Yeah, there's Slobodka, which is Gadlus Adam, which is bring out the majesty of the individual, of the beauty of the giant of the Jew. Yeah? That's Chevron, that's Slobodka. Mir is from Slobodka. On the other hand, you have Navarduk. Navarduk is a mahalach of Shiflus Adam, the lowliness of person. You know, how low a person can be unless they actually build themselves up. A person is nothing compared to Rabbeinu Shleilam. They completely broke who they were. Two different thoughts. I don't know how well Navarduk will work today. I don't know how well it worked today. But during the war, the First World War, Navardukers were beaten to in the center of Siberia, and they were tortured, and they didn't move an iota away from the Gadlus. Nothing. They were absolutely perfect in Shemir Shabbos, learning Torah. They had Talmidim all around Russia when the risks were incredible. I'm not doing anything. I'm doing my very little. I'm doing my very least. You know, there was unbelievable strength. There were an army. The Navadikas were armies. Unbelievable. There's a place in France still based on Navadika Shittas. I forgot what it's called. But they're tough, tough people. They suffer tremendously, and it doesn't push them at all. On the other hand, you have Koyach Adam. Isaac Scher once went to a very well-known cafe in Vienna. Must have been obviously a kosher cafe in Vienna, and must have been a fundraising trip. I'm not sure exactly when. Maybe it's during the war. I don't know all the exact details. And he saw there in a corner of the room a few Navadika Bochrim having a Musa Seder in the middle of the cafe, and they were shuckling, their eyes closed. And people giving them looks. You know, and they were sitting there completely oblivious, eyes closed, shuckling, tears pouring down their cheeks, learning loud. So Isaac walks up to them and says to them, "What are you doing? You know, what's a kohen doing in Beis HaKvaros? What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" Baha'i Loshen said, "What's a kohen doing in a Beis HaKvaros? People think you're crazy." So without missing a beat, in perfect, perfect good manners and respect, they answered him, "Do you think we're in Slobodka? We are taught by Rosh Hashivas Dafka specifically to learn Musa in a place where people think we're crazy. That's part of our Musa. Let people think we're crazy as long as we're doing the right thing." I'll tell you a story. The Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Artuska, you had the great, great schus of having in our house every week. She said a story, I may have said this over before, that her grandfather, all for the boss, Rabbi Herman, she came to America and the Rebbetzin had just come then from Mir, just came from Poland, and in Poland the candy stores was not really something that they're well known for in Poland. What did they have? A bit of rock candy, a bit of sugar. I mean, she came to America, and talking about before all the additives and preservatives and all that stuff, the candies were kosher, licorice, it was all natural things. She sees a candy store, right, sees a candy store, and it's, she's never seen it so much like she come to a wonderland. Unbelievable. So she says to Zaidi, I want some nash. Yeah, what? So Zaidi says, "I'll buy you." Goes into the store and gives her a bag. He says, "Fill it up with whatever you want." She's a little girl. She's 4 years old. And she fills up the bag with this shiny thing and this chocolate and that. And she fills up the bag. And she goes outside. "Oh, what's going on? Zaidi, you know, never you should..." Fine. Zaidi says, "Okay, now, come with me." So can I eat it now? So nope, come with me. He said, "Now, look across the road. Across the road, there's a group of men sitting outside a cafe who are Jewish. And they don't know what bracha is. I want you to stand on this side of the street and say your bracha so loud that the people on the other side of the street will hear you and say amen. And either don't say amen, I want you to be able to hear that you're not scared to make a bracha. In New York, a 4-year-old girl." "But Zaidi, I'm shy." So fine, don't have your candies. That's your choice. So she says, Ado Yemazeh, she's 80. So Ado Yemazeh, she remembers closing her eyes. Tight. And with all her little koichas, she screamed across the road, the brocha, Shahakol Nyebidvaroi. So they said, okay, now you can have your candies. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're doing the right thing? Here is Nevaduk. She said, Ado Yemazeh, she said, today, if you need to daven in an airport, or you need to daven on a plane, I'm not afraid. I'm doing the right thing. That's it. That's Nevaduk. Okay? But the Slobodka think that Nevaduk are crazy, and the Vaduk think that Slobodka are a bunch of snobs. So who's right? Who is right? The answer is absolutely both of them. Both of them. What's Peshat? It's just Poshat different perspective. It's Poshat, who are you? Yaakov Avinu said to Levi, what are you doing, Shimon of Levi? You can't work with diplomacy. You can't work with speaking nicely to people. You can't work with leadership. Speak to Shechem. Deal with them. Going along with violence, going along with strength, that's not my sons. Orapom! Yehuda, ah, that's diplomacy. That's leadership. That's godless. Moshe Rabbeinu says, different perspective. I come from a different school over here. Yehuda, very nice, diplomatic, very nice. You know, that's not going to help us very much. We need people who are going to stand up from the crowd and fight for the nation when necessary. That's Levi. Oh, Levi, and he gives them compliment after compliment, posuk after posuk. What's the idea behind this? Who was wrong? Yaakov was wrong? Was Moshe wrong? They're both absolutely right. The answer is, it depends who you are. It depends where you come from. It depends where you're living, within perspective. You know, you get sometimes... imagine a real yekka who's never ever daven anywhere else. Never ever daven anywhere else goes to a chassidish shul. Right? They think he's crazy. He doesn't shockle. He just stands there. He comes on time. Yeah? You know, and what's wrong with this guy? Right? And he thinks, look at these crazy people. They're walking around giving out snuff and singing and dancing and banging and clapping. What is wrong? What's right? What's wrong? Who knows? It depends who you are. It's very, very easy for parents to go along and they say, listen, this is how I was brought up and that's how I think, but it's not your child. You know, you get two different children. They're completely different. One becomes a sofer and one becomes a head of atzalah. You know, one kid, you try and put him down in the Hatzolah in the ambulance, they have a nervous breakdown after half an hour. Lights flashing and bringing out a person who's half dying into the hospital. And this poor, and other guy, this big Hatzolah guy, you try and get him to write down with a quill in the quiet room for half an hour, he'll go crazy. Each person is different. So Techocha of Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu are both absolutely right, but know who you are, know who your children are. Understand that they may not be like you, and therefore they require different perspective. They require to understand each child by itself. Rechaim Shem Levitt says, the Yaakov Avinu's mistake was not that he made Yosef special. That's not a parent's mistake. The mistake was that not every single one of his children thought that they were the special one. Rechaim Shem Levitt. Every one of his children should think, I am the favored child. The mistake is not to favor. The mistake is for one child to think they're favored and the other ones aren't. Each child should think, I am the favored one. That is a koyach, to be mechiach in a way that is objective, to be able to identify the source of the act, to identify what act is, if it's good, if it's not good, to identify the act according to your children's own koyachos, to understand that it could be different, that it depends who you are. You're very, very methodical. Your child is not methodical at all. Fine! It's a different character. You know, it doesn't matter. La la la. You know? And to understand that Techocha is an extremely powerful tool, to point out where a person has gone wrong, using the correct way is the most wonderful tool. Using the incorrect way, Yaakov Avinu is worried that Chas V'Shalom and children will completely lose it, and Reuven will end up with Esav. And therefore, ultimately, we should all have Siyat Dishmaya, to be able to mechanech ourselves, first of all, and to identify our own blemishes and work on them, and be able to help those around us and our children to do it in a positive, warm way that's actually going to bring them up and actually make a big change in them. And as Hashem, we should be zeicher to have our full potential brought out, and chazak v'nischazik.